Thank you, Dr. Rob, and it is always my honor, my privilege to be here with you, and if I may, I bring you greetings from Shannon and the entire trustee board. We love you, we pray for you, not just when we're on the hill twice a year, but throughout the year as we walk with you through the good times, through the hard times. But most of all, we know that our God is ever present, and we love you. We want you to know that we believe that God has chosen you for this hour. I don't think there's been a time in my almost 49 years of ministry that we've needed God-called men and women to step out and to answer the call more than we do right now. So thank you, Dr. Robin. I was just looking... My lands, Dr. Rob looks good today, doesn't he? Man, somebody needs to contact Sue. If you would contact Joe and just let her know that Rob looked good today. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Again, I heard you had a good preview day. I hope that turns out to be a blessing to the school in the coming days. As Dr. Rob said, I am in my last year as a seminary trustee. We will meet here on the 26th and 27th, I believe. And then I will have concluded my time, but I will continue hopefully to be involved and through friends and through legacy. I didn't have the opportunity to go to seminary. I went to a Bible college and was signed up to go to seminary at Southwestern just at the time because I was a Canadian in an American school. I got there just when the Iran hostages were a reality, and I got a notice. I'd already been to Southwestern, was signed up. Bessie Fleming was going to provide me with a full scholarship, and everything was ready to go. And then I got a letter the night before my final exam that said, you have 1 week to voluntarily leave the United States or we'll deport you. Because they said I was doing some things that were illegal. I had permission from the American consulate in Miami that allowed me to preach and encourage as a part of my training, part of my schooling. But because I was there on a non-immigrant alien green card status, I was breaking the regulations according to them. So I graduated at Dallas, flew back to Florida, graduated there a week later. Dr. Dan Stringer was the speaker at that graduation. And so I made my way on back to Canada, kind of with a little bit of a broken heart. I thought, you know, I was so excited about going on to seminary. But I've looked back over it, and one of my professors at Dallas said, DK, you need to go back and get to work. You need to get at it rather than staying here at school. But I thought, well, that's because I passed his history class, I think. And he didn't know if I could pass anymore. But it was a good journey. So while you're here, you may have some hard days. You may have some lean days. But cherish the moment. God is building into you what he wants you to be, what he needs you to be. And I want to tell you what Canada needs. Every lost person in Canada needs you, and they don't know it yet. But they do. They need the message. They need the heart that you're going to bring to them. Let me pray with you again, please. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning not to enlighten you on any of life situations, but, oh, Lord God, we ask you to bring to mind and to heart exactly what you want said in this room. God, would you take it into the heart and the minds of these young men, these young women? God, would you encourage them? Would you equip them? Would you prepare them? Because you alone know what's going to be needed in these next few years. And so you're going to tell them, and you're going to tell them through the professors. You're going to tell them through the Holy Spirit. You're going to tell them through the pastors where they serve. But God, we're going to not take any of that glory. We're going to give it all to you. We're just going to say today, we need you to speak to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is, as has been indicated this morning, this is the week that we remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I do not celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ on the 25th of December, nor do I celebrate Easter on April 1st this year, but I celebrate the event of the birth of Christ, the event of Easter. I had a young couple tell me just before Christmas, they said, and they're a strong Christian couple, so we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't believe in Christmas. And I said, well, I don't particularly celebrate Christmas, but if you don't choose to celebrate the birth of Christ, then you may want to celebrate it in July or August with a barbecue. Invite me, I'll come. But the fact is, surely if you're a child of God, you're going to celebrate the birth of Christ. Surely if we're a child of God, we're going to focus on and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave that for the pastor that you had last Sunday, Palm Sunday, and this coming Sunday of Easter. But I want to ask the Lord, first of all, that He would just bless you, Dr. Rob. Thank you for the way you pour your life into this school. You're just laying it down, every day. And to the support staff, to the professors, to the faculty here, most of you could be somewhere else making better pay, better salary. My wife asked me a lot of times, she said, have you ever considered what life could have been like for us had you stayed with that oil company that was paying you $100 a day back in 76 and letting you drive their pickup? And I said, you know, matter of fact, I have. We would have probably been in terrible shape because I wouldn't have been in the center of God's will for my life. So God brought you here. If you're here for the money, you're here for the fame and the fortune, be reading the classified ads. I want to tell you, you made a dumb choice. But if you're here because God called you here, boy, don't ever consider leaving. One of my presidents at Bible College used to say, if you're about ready to give up, just stay one more day. And tomorrow, you just stay one more day, and it'll come together. We're rapidly approaching that time of year for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've been involved last year in so many funerals. Five already this year, one yesterday over at Consort. Just sharing and trying to encourage the people that are alive to be prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of those people left a legacy. There was something about each one of them that they were remembered for. Some positive, and some, might we say, less than positive. But they left a legacy. I believe that we can say there's no one left a legacy for us like Jesus Christ. I want people that often say to me, well, DK, I'm not really a religious person like you are. And I've gotten to where the very first thing that happens, immediately when they tell me that, I stick my hand out to them, and I shake their hand and I said, man, I am so glad to meet you because I'm not religious either. I'm a disciple of the Bible and a follower of Jesus Christ. And so that legacy is what I want to talk to you about today. Once I was young and now I'm much older. This August will be 49 years ago that I entered the ministry. I remember when I was pastoring at Jasper Place, Dr. Rob alluded to it a moment ago, when I first walked through the gate over there, it was locked, and so we crawled through the fence. Alan Schmidt and James Teal and I, and we walked other properties, but then we walked across the hill and stood out here on the top of this hill. And it was like the Shekinah glory of God said, this is it. I mean, we were in total harmony. This is where God was going to build our Canadian school. And boy, in that day, I was longing for a Canadian school. You might say, well, you don't sound like a Canadian. I want to tell you something. It's kind of like, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge me by my accent. I've said many times, if you slit this wrist right here, it'll start spitting out little red maple leaves. So when I talk about our country and my burden for our country, do I love America? I love America. They produced me. You can blame them. But I had nothing to do with where I discovered North America, but I'm here because God brought me here. I'm in the process of building a legacy. I want to tell you today how I want to be remembered. I may be remembered in other ways, but I want to tell you how I want to be remembered. Because as Jesus Christ left a legacy, there will be a day that all I will have will be a legacy. And you know, people's legacies are often forgotten. You know, we're here for a little while, and then we're like the grass, like the flower. We die and fade, and our place is known no more. But I want to leave this kind of a legacy. I would invite you, those of you students, while you're still young, ask God to give you the dream for your legacy. What you want to be remembered for. It changed my life when I really began to realize that, DK, you're building a legacy. And someday when God checks me out, then my legacy will be complete and it will carry on from there. My wife says that on her tombstone, she simply wants me to put on there, she lived, she died. And I told her, babe, it ain't going to happen. Because we all live a life building this legacy one step at a time. So I want to share with you, if I may, a very simple desire, but very focused. Number one, I want to be known as a person who intentionally does everything possible to bring glory to God. Our God, in His sovereign will, has made it clear that I will be held responsible for the legacy I am building for myself. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." It's not about building a legacy or a fame for me. It's about building a legacy that said that guy did everything he could for the glory of God. I want to glorify God in my mind where no one except He and I ever enter. We really know what's going on in my mind. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm thinking hardly. But I believe God knows, and I want my mind to glorify God in what goes through there. One old gentleman said that it's like our mind is kind of like a basket. It doesn't hold well, but it cleans a lot going through. The thoughts that come, I don't always have control over them. But he also said that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. So therefore, I just simply say, oh God, in my mind, I want to glorify you. I want to glorify God in my motives. And God alone I want to glorify in my motives. Have you ever taken some time to analyze your motives? Why I do something? Why I don't do something? When they stand before God, will they pass the test as pure? There's nothing that bothers a person more. It's okay for you to question why I did something, but oh, that God alone would know my motives were pure. You ever been misunderstood? You ever had someone misquote you? Someone who addressed your motives and you knew deep in the recesses of your heart, and God knew in your mind and God knew in your motive. It is about Him. It's about glorifying Him in every way. We need to glorify God with our words. In Psalm 141, verse 3, it says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the doors of my lips." Folks, I can't tell you enough how we need God in this world we're in today to guard this mouthpiece. Many of you would not know him, but an old gentleman named Steve Gover, full-blood Pawnee Indian, preached my ordination service in Bellwood, Alabama. And Steve was having to use little cue cards, and he'd pick it up and he'd look at it like this, and then he'd lay it down, and then he would address me. And he picked one up and he looked at it real hard. He laid it down and he said, "Watch your mouth." I had a problem and I have a problem. I don't have any problem making conversation. I sometimes have a problem with God keeping the doors of my lips, telling me when to open it, when to close it. Oh, you can hurt people with just a couple of words. You get in your ministry and your pastor or your youth worker, your pastor's wife, your missionary, whatever. Boy, your words have so much power in them to hurt or to do good. I want to be one that God gets glory out of the words that I use. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Boy, we're in situations today, we see it. I've had friends that they get in what they think is a closed meeting, in a private meeting, and they make a comment, and there are people there ready to pick up on it, and then take that to the world. Ask God when you're in the pulpit, wherever you are, "Oh God, set a guard over my mouth and keep the doors of my lips, lest I say something that could hinder you or hinder my family or hinder the school or hinder the ministry. But God, tell me when to open it and let your awesome blessings flow." We need to work hard not to receive any extra blessings, but for the glory of God. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men." You do it heartily means put all your heart into it, but put all you've got into it. Be known for one who loves the Lord in a strong way. We're not to endeavor to be people pleasers, but can there be anything wrong with desiring to be a God pleaser? In 1 Thessalonians 4:1, J.B. Phillips says, "To sum up, my brothers, we beg and pray you by the Lord Jesus that you continue to learn more and more of the life that pleases God, the sort of life we told you about before." Asking Him to tell us how to be God pleasers. Second thing, and it'll get shorter and shorter, kind of like an elephant message. They just fade out. Number two, I want to be known as an encourager. 1 Thessalonians says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing." Learn how to encourage people. Everyone in this room is either a fountain or a drain. And you know what it means to be a drain. I have some folks that they can walk by within 15 feet of me, and it's like... But then there are those when you think, "I am so thankful to see him walk through the door. I'm having a hard day today. Oh, I'm praying this morning diligently." Young lady, physically attractive, God's gifts have been abundantly poured out on her. But she has Lyme's disease, and she's struggling and struggling. And 2 days ago, she began to text, and I began to share with Brenda what was going on. And I text her back from a hotel room yesterday morning. And I said to her, "I feel your pain, feel your hurt, feel your deep, deep discouragement. What are we going to do? We're not God. But boy, we can do everything we can to build them up, to encourage her," and just say, ask God to make you right now ultra sensitive to what God wants you to do, where you're at. Oh, she said, "Deacon, I'm supposed to be in Mexico in 2 weeks. After that in Texas, and after that in California. It doesn't matter where I'm supposed to be. God has you here today, and you're going to ask God to make you sensitive to how to share your life with those around you today." I don't know, again, if I've ever seen a time that people need to be hugged, need to be patted on the back, need to be encouraged. Oh, I'm not talking about condoning sin and all that kind of junk. But let's try to encourage each other just as you're already doing. The last one is, I want to be remembered as one who did everything possible to be a positive influence on those who do not yet know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. We're going to be an influence. Don't misunderstand that. Are we going to be a positive influence, or are we going to be a negative influence? In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's just sort of a cheap little saying, but it's so true, isn't it, that we are, to a great extent, for many people, the only Bible they'll ever read. were the only Jesus they'll ever know. I want to be a positive influence to those people. We can't save anyone, but we can certainly determine if we are a positive or negative influence to those who are still lost. I think I've known a few people that felt like they had the ability to actually save people. I know I don't have the ability to save anybody. All I can do is introduce them to the one named Jesus. All I can do is tell them they need to cry out and reach out to Him. Oh yeah, He knew from before the foundation of the earth if they're going to be one of His or not, but I don't, and they don't. So they're going to need to cry out to Him and ask Him to come into their life. I want to be known as one who had that positive influence on people who do not yet know Jesus Christ. He came to His own in John 1:11-12. He came to His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. So as He comes, be an influence, a positive influence, that they will say, I want to have what that person has. The love of Jesus permeating, filling their life. I close with this verse and this illustration. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I wish I had today a prism, but I don't have. I'm sure all of you know exactly what a prism is. When you look at that prism, it has no beauty within itself. But what happens to it when you shine a ray of bright light onto that prism? What happens to that prism? Out of the other side comes a rainbow of light and color. I believe that we are very much like a prism. That until the Holy Spirit of the living God shines the bright light on us, nothing good is going to come out of us. But when He does, out of the other side comes the love and the beauty of this Christ we're talking about, who died, was buried, and rose again. I want to be that kind of a positive influence on those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. That's how our lives work. When we really let the Lord shine into our lives, the true beauty of that light shines through and then out of our lives. It is a way that the source, the light, gets the recognition, not the prism. What gave the beauty to the prism is what has to get the praise and the honor and the glory. It doesn't matter how high a mountain God takes you to in your ministry, guys. Oh, don't forget, unless the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shines into your life, through your life, and on into the rest of the world, all people will see is someone in a nice, flashy car. They're not Baptist. They have a nice, flashy car. Nice, fancy, slick suits. But what people need to see today is that person's been with Jesus and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shines in and through their life. Again, please, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My simple life plan for building my life and my ministry legacy is seek to glorify God in everything I do, be an encourager of God's people, and be a positive influence of all those who do not yet know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we bow before You again in this room that years ago was built on the side of this hill, overlooking the majesty of Your mountains and Your beauty. Lord, where people have come and preached and sang and played instruments and taught, all to the glory of God. And should You choose to bless our ministry, we'll say thank You. We'll say what an honor. God, for these students that are about to graduate, and others who will graduate in other years, and those that are still to come here and go through the learning process. Oh, God, empower them that there'll be more than just a flesh and blood in a pulpit, but they'll be there by divine appointment, that they'll be endeavoring to glorify you and help them to encourage each other. God, we don't need to kick any of our brothers and sisters who have fallen and are down and hurting. God, help us to pick them up, to love them, get them on their feet, help get them going again. And Lord, when we meet some, if I meet one today that does not yet know you, in the name of Jesus Christ, use my life some way to influence them to where when you come to them, they will receive you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.